I invite you to turn with me in the back of your Psalter hymnals to Lord's Day 39. Lord's Day 39, dealing with the fifth commandment. That's page 52, page 52 in the back of your Psalter hymnals. But first, we'll be reading our text from Ephesians chapter 6, those very well-known words of address to children. Ephesians chapter 6, if you're using our Pew Bibles, that's page 1136. Ephesians chapter 6, we're going to read the first four verses. Ephesians 6, the first four verses. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you, and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. That's as far as reading from Ephesians. Then let's turn to the back of our Psalter hymnals. Page 52. Fifth commandment is honor your father and your mother, that it may go well with you in the land in which you are to possess. So question and answer 104 asks, what is God's will for us in the fifth commandment? That I honor, love, and be loyal to my father and mother and all those in authority over me, that I obey and submit to them as is proper when they correct and punish me, and also that I be patient with their failings. For through them, God chooses to rule us. That's as far as reading in the Catechism. Congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, as we consider the fifth commandment this evening, I'm going to start with a question for the children. And the children, the question is this: do you think your parents can break the fifth commandment? Is it possible for mommy and daddy to break a commandment which speaks to children? Well, as we are going to see today, that this commandment is not only focusing on children and their relationship to their parents, it is also the relationship that we all have between those whom God has placed over us. Everyone. The fact is, everyone. No matter their age, a person can still be called to obey this commandment when they're 103. And no matter their position, even the most highest position of honor, the President of the United States, is called to submit to those whom God places over them. While we are transitioning this week from the first table of the law to the second table of the law, thus far, the first four commandments have dealt with our loving God above all. We have looked at how we are to worship the one true God, why we should worship the one true God, and when we should worship the one true God. We should worship Him alone because He alone is God. Fear, reverence, and awe because He deserves it, using His name as He deserves His name to be used, and keeping the Sabbath day as a day of worship and praise. Well, now we are moving from the first table, our relationship to God, to the second table of the law, our relationship to fellow man. As Jesus Christ said, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And as we start the second table of the law, we start with the most intimate relationships, starting right in the home, the relationship between parents and their children. We start with this theme that Jesus Christ enables us to honor those whom He has placed over us. Jesus Christ enables us to honor those whom He has placed over us. We start then, as we have in recent weeks, by seeing how Jesus Christ perfectly kept this commandment, that Jesus Christ kept the commandment of honoring His father and His mother. Jesus Christ had a submissive heart. And even though He is the Son of God, He still humbled Himself before His heavenly Father and His earthly parents. Our reading that we read in Luke chapter 2 says that Jesus, speaking to His parents, said, I needed to be in my Father's house. Why were you searching for me all over the city of Jerusalem? Didn't you know I needed to be here as my Father commanded? It was a divine mandate placed upon him to be in his Father's house, to be in that place of worship. Or as John 8 says, he always does what is pleasing to the Father. And even the Father himself said, this is my Son with whom I am well pleased. So Jesus acknowledges that he had to submit to his Father's will, not my will, not what I want, what you want, Heavenly Father. And the Father himself said concerning Jesus Christ, you are my Son, I am well pleased with you. You have kept this commandment. But not only did Jesus submit to his heavenly Father, he submitted to his earthly parents. Because if you still have your Bibles open to Luke chapter 2, you'll see in verse 51 that in speaking to Mary and Joseph, Jesus said, or went down with his parents, and he submitted to them. And then Mary pondered, marveled at these things in her heart. Jesus submitted himself to his earthly parents. Now imagine the significance of this. Here we have the perfect Son of God who is and who was and who is to come, the very author of creation. Indeed, we could properly say that Jesus is the one who by his power caused Adam, the first person to be, and Mary and Joseph, that it was Jesus' power that formed them and fashioned them. And yet Jesus goes home with them and willingly bows himself under the yoke of his earthly parents. Jesus, who is perfect, who never sinned, never did anything wrong, never said something wrong, never did something wrong, never fought with his siblings, he goes home, this perfect Jesus, respecting and obeying parents who are not perfect. Now, children, if you think it's hard to honor and obey your parents, imagine how difficult it would have been for a perfect son to submit to sinful parents. Yet Jesus perfectly submitted himself to his earthly parents, forgiving them and still submitting throughout his life. Here Jesus at 12 years old, and you jump all the way to the end of his life. One of the last things that Jesus did on the cross. Remember what he said, children? What did Jesus say to his mom? Jesus said to his mom, to his mother, Jesus is hanging on the cross. He says to his mom, behold your son, referencing John, and saying to his beloved disciple, John, behold your mother. One of the last acts that Jesus did in his earthly life was to see to it that his mother was protected and provided for by giving his mom and his mom's care into the hands of the apostle John. Jesus Christ perfectly submitted, honored, and even obeyed his earthly parents. In this, we can glean the principle that obeying your parents and obeying God are not on two opposite sides of the spectrum. We are not told to obey God on one hand and then obey your parents on the other hand as if these were two opposing factions. Well, I have to choose. Am I going to obey God now or am I going to obey my parents now? We see that throughout our life, obeying your parents is part of your obedience to God. We obey our parents in the Lord, for this is right. Children, the reason you obey your parents is because you want to obey your Lord. The reason you obey mom and dad is because you want to obey your heavenly Father. You want to do what he has commanded. So we obey and we follow in the footsteps of Jesus Christ, joyfully obeying those whom God has placed over us. The fact is, Jesus has received all power and authority, but the way that Jesus exercises his power and authority is by way of human agents. Christ rules over us through men and women he places over us. God chooses, as question and answer 104 says, to rule over us by those he has placed in authority. So we find in the first point that there is great comfort in this command because this command has been faithfully, fully, perfectly kept by Jesus Christ. The comfort is this commandment has already been kept perfectly. So when the Father looks at us, he sees the perfect righteousness of Christ. He sees a law-abiding citizen who submits perfectly because Jesus did for you. That's the comfort of this command. But there is also a secondary calling of this command. Because Christ works within us by his Spirit, he is fashioning us, molding us so that we look like Christ. So we start with a foundation that God is God and all authority and power belongs to him. And he has the right to rule over us. He has the right to lay down the law. He has the right to exercise his dominion by way of good government. To reject those God places over us is to reject God himself. Now, this government comes in various levels. This commandment starts with the most intimate level. The first level in which children see government is in the home. The closest level that parents, that children find the reign and rule of God is in the authority given to their parents. So here we look at Ephesians 6, verse 1, which says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right." It starts in the home, children. God wants you to learn at a very young, early age that as Christians we are called to submit, to honor, and to obey. To submit, honor, and obey. Because all too soon, you know, people have been saying this to me for the past 10 years. Enjoy the life with your children. Before you know it, they're going to be out. They're going to be gone. And actually, earlier today, we were just watching some of those old home videos from when our kids, how did you get like this? Well, the fact is, parents, your children are going to be out of the house before you know it. And children, although it may seem like it's taking forever, before you know it, you're going to be out of the house. What you learn in the home sets the foundation for the rest of your life. If you learn how to honor and submit to the God-given authority your parents have in the home, your life will go well. It will go well with you. We're going to see that in the third point. All too soon, children, you're going to come into contact with various circles of authority. As you grow up, the circles of authority expand. You start in the home, starts with your parents, and then you have contact with your teachers, and you have contact with the elders at church. You have contact with your employers at work. Then you have contact with your civic rulers, your judges, your law enforcement officers. If you learn in the home how to honor and obey, you are a long way down the path of a good life. Authority, submitting to the rule of God's power over you, is the foundation of civic order. You remember what happened in the days of Noah, don't you, children? In the days of Noah and in the days of the judges, people were doing whatever was right in their own eyes. There was no kingdom or authority or civic rule. And would you say that the days of Noah were good days? Would you say that the time of the judges was a prosperous time? When everyone does what's right in their own eyes and they refuse to submit to the God-given authority, there is chaos, there is anarchy, there is rebellion, and there is bloodshed. That's why God wants you to learn now, young. Learn it while you're young. Parents, teach your children when they are young. And when they become old, they will not depart from that way. Disobedience to this commandment bears bitter fruit in the home and in society as a whole. A child that never learns to yield in the home will not only have trouble with his parents and trouble with his siblings, They will have trouble in math class and catechism class. They will soon have conflict with their principals, with their boss, and with their police officers. So children, for your own sake, learn to submit and obey. This commandment also includes mothers, doesn't it? It says, obey and honor your father and your mother. Your father and your mother, both parents, both of them. A child who obeys mommy but has no respect for daddy breaks this commandment. If you are afraid of your father so that you do what he says, but you have a disrespectful heart towards your mother, you are breaking this command. This law includes both your parents, because in the office of parenthood, we recognize God is ruling over us. So then we are called, as question and answer 104 says, to honor and obey. This lists out the specific things that it says: honor, love, and be loyal to obey and submit, and also be patient. That's what we're called to do. Keeping this commandment, it means that we do what we are asked to do, and we do it with a proper attitude. There is an action and an attitude that are married together in this commandment. We can go through the outward motion of doing what our parents ask us to do without a heart that is proper. What does Philippians say? Do all things without arguing and complaining. So if mommy and daddy, children, if mommy and daddy ask you, a little one, I want you to go clean up your room because it's time to get ready for bed. The only word that should proceed from your mouth is yes. And the only attitude that should spring forth from your heart is one of cheerful obedience. If your gut response to a command from your parents is why, or heaven forbid, no, you are rebelling against Jesus Christ, which is not something to be taken lightly. And how you speak to and about your parents shows what you think of God's rule over you. If you talk about your dad as the old man, or when your mother is not looking, roll your eyes at her, you are breaking this commandment, because you are not honoring your father and your mother. And as your parents grow old, this commandment sticks with you. When your parents are no longer able to take care of themselves, they're in a nursing home or retirement community, this commandment still applies. Children, obey your parents. Well, the way you obey them, it's matures, but that sense of honoring and respecting them still applies. There are far too many neglected parents in the world in which we live. Far too many neglected parents whose children no longer honor them. Honoring them means that you are making sure that they are provided for. And even if their mind is no longer sharp, you are still there for them. One of the greatest witnesses that we have as an opportunity to witness to the world is how we treat the older generation. How we respect those whom God has placed over us. But as I said, children, in the introduction, obeying your father and your mother not just applies to you as kids, but it applies to us as all. Everyone God has placed over us. That's what our commandment says here. And all those in authority over us. That means our boss, our president, how we speak to them and about them is a reflection of this commandment. If we belittle, if we slander, if we tell jokes ridiculing our president, I know we may not agree with what our president does. We may not agree with his actions, his attitude, his character. But if you dishonor your president, if you speak to, just read the news. If you speak to or speak about the president as our news is filled, you're breaking this commandment. Has God placed a president over us or not? If he has, if this president is God ordained, then how we speak about him must be filled with respect. And your boss at work. You may not like your boss, but as long as you are in a binding contract of employment with him, he's your boss. God has placed him over you, speaking to him and about him with respect. So what we learn in the home sets the stage for a lifetime of honoring, respecting those whom God has placed over us. And if you learn it at a young age, you are a long way down the path of a good life. Deuteronomy 6 says, teach this law to your children. Talk about it in your coming and your going, both now and forevermore. Proverbs 22, teach a child in the way that he should go, so that when he is old, he will not depart from it. Children, learn this from your parents. For your own sake, learn how to honor, submit, and obey mom and dad, because there is a promise that God has affixed to it. Just look at a few of the Old Testament examples. The prophet Eli had rebellious sons. We know how that turned out. Even David had a rebellious son. Remember what happened with Absalom? These rebellious sons were killed and the nation was thrown into chaos because they never learned how to keep this commandment. Children did not learn how to submit and obey. So children, when your parents ask you to do something, for the sake, for the acknowledgement, because of God's rule over you, do what they ask you to do with a cheerful heart. And when they mess up, be patient with them and even pray for them. Children, do you pray for your parents? Thinking back when I was a kid, I never prayed for my parents. I prayed for the things that I needed. I prayed for the things that I wanted. Pray for your parents. Isn't that one of the things that Scripture tells us to do? Pray for your leaders. Pray for those whom God has placed over you, that God would give them wisdom. For the sake of your salvation and your future, because your future will be impacted by how you respond to this commandment. The way you keep this commandment is by ultimately honoring your Father in heaven. Your honoring mommy and daddy is a part of your honoring your Father in heaven, submitting to his will. And when you submit to the will of God, it will go well with you. So now we come to the benefit. What does Scripture mean when it says it will go well with you, or that you will live long in the land that you are possessing? Well, this answer, how we answer this question can be approached in two different ways. I'm going to start with it looking at the individual and then the corporate aspect. So first, individually, Scripture says it will go well with you. How does it go well with you? How is your life blessed when you submit to this commandment? Well, when you submit to God's commandments, your heart becomes like tilled soil. You know, farmers, when they get ready to plant the seed, they work the ground, they loosen it so that when the seed comes, it finds a ready reception. Submitting to your mom and dad sets the stage for submitting to God's will, to his word, submitting to what Scripture says. So keeping this commandment tills your heart, makes your heart loose, ready, so that when the word comes, it finds a ready reception. We all, in whatever various stage and timing in life, are called to submit to God's word, bowing down in faith and repentance. A humble heart learns to accept instruction, saying, I don't have all the answers. Someone is wiser than me. In the home, children, that means your parents. They're wiser than you are. Listen to them. But as you grow up, we learn that God is teaching us through them. We're submitting to God because he is the fountain of all wisdom. Why would we forsake wisdom when God clearly gives it to us? So a humble heart accepts instruction and is prepared for the greatest truth. Proverbs says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of true knowledge. So it goes well with you in this life. How does it go well with you? Well, let's consider two individuals. On the one hand, we have a son who learned in the home how to be submissive, how to honor and respect and obey. And on this hand, we have a rebellious son who never learned to submit. This one on this hand, who did submit, finds that it's easier in school when the parents give, when the teachers give an instruction, they listen and they do it. They do better in their grades. They do better in the church when their pastors or their elders come to them and say, you've been living in sin. They submit and then repent. It goes better with them when they're driving on the roads. They submit to the laws. It's just a whole life of easy compared to this rebellious son, the prodigal son. You remember what happened to the prodigal son, don't you? The prodigal son did not honor his father. And what did that lead to? You remember? It ended up he was pretty much destitute. He was eaten with the pigs. He didn't honor his father. And his life was hard. So it is those children who never learn to honor and submit to their parents in the home find conflict at work, at church, at school, on the road, everywhere. Conflict. God, children, God has your good in mind. This commandment is not a burden God is forcing on you. God is saying, I want your life to go well. Therefore, learn to submit and obey. But not only do we have this in the individual sense, we also have the communal sense. When a church is filled with submissive children, children that have learned to take instruction and correction from God's word and from those whom God has placed over him, that submission pays dividends for many generations to come. There are faithful future leaders and parents in the church as evident when children learn to grow in these graces. Not only the church, but also the community. You find that a society filled with submissive children find that the laws of the land are there for a reason. A nation filled with submissive children is a nation that is blessed. But a nation filled with rebellious children will not be a stable society. In fact, one of the reasons we find such high crime rates in the inner city is because they are fatherless homes. Children never learned to submit to their father and mother in the home. And then all of a sudden, this vacuum of authority is filled by the gangs, and that's why you have so many problems in the inner cities today. But a nation filled with submissive children can expect stability, order, thriving state, church, and family. To conclude, if I can take the position of the pastor in the Old Testament wisdom literatures, my children, if you want life to go well with you, learn to obey your father and your mother. I'm not just talking to my kids. I'm talking to you too, my children. But children, my children, if you want life to go well with you, learn to submit and obey. Submitting and obeying mom and dad in the home. And then as you grow up in the various realms and circles of authority, it will go well with you in this life. And you will have a long life in the world to come if you only would submit and obey the will of your Father in heaven. Honoring authority is part of the way that we honor our God. I think it's Peter that says, fear God and honor the King. That's what our life is filled with. Fear and honor, submission. Give honor to those whom honor is due. Obedience in children is evidence that they have learned to know God and submit to his word. So today we have seen that Jesus Christ enables us. He perfectly kept this commandment and he fills us with the Spirit, enabling us to honor those whom God has placed over us. Since we are all children, children of our Heavenly Father, let us learn to submit to the will of our Father, which here says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right, so that it might go well with you, and that you might live long in the land of God's blessings. This is my prayer for you, children. Honor, submit, and obey those whom God has placed over you, because God has your good in mind, your blessing. God wants you to be blessed, children. And this is how you might have a life of blessing. Amen. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for this commandment here set before us, and we thank you for Jesus Christ, which he who perfectly kept all of these commandments. We do pray, O Lord, that we would find a heart of submission in our hearts, that we would bow the knee before those whom you have placed over us, because your Son, Jesus, is King of kings and Lord of lords, and he seeks to rule over us through various authorities that he has placed over us. We pray, whether we are young or old, O Lord, that we would submit and obey those whom you have placed over us in all things lawful, to the glory of your name and for our good. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.